Matthew chapter 7. We're just going to start off with two verses, and these verses are part of the Sermon on the Mount, I'm sure you're familiar with. And the Sermon on the Mount is really kind of is not really a good title. This is the Lord expounding and ministering to the disciples and for those that were there on the side of that mountain. And it's actually chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, and it's way more than a sermon. There is enough truth and material for volumes of sermons, but it's incredible. And in fact, if you look at the end of chapter 7, it's been 5, 6, and 7, we're looking at toward the very end. We're going to look at verses 13 and 14. The word that they heard was so powerful that it says in verse 28, says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine." They never heard anything like this before. Incredible. And let me read these verses, and then we'll get into it. Matthew chapter 7, and I think we're putting them up here. Verse 13 and 14 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." Many there be that go therein at. Verse 14 says, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Disturbing words. Many go through the broad gate, but a few is all that find this straight gate. And so I want to talk to you, Lord willing, for just a few minutes on what road are you on? What road are you on? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you are the way. We thank you that when we had no hope, you made a way, and even here, you're pointing us to that way. And God, that your word just astounds us even tonight, that God, that you are so different than what we are, and your love and your word and your truth is so powerful that it just blows our mind. We can't even wrap around the truth, the love, the power of your word. But God, I pray that you would open our eyes tonight, that we, Lord, would see, and Lord, you would be able to deal with us and open our eyes into the road that we are on. And Lord, if we need to make course changes, that we make them tonight. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. It's hard. We're just going to look at just a little snippet out of these passages. And the Lord has spent 2.5 chapters of just saying things that they'd never heard before and telling them. And every time, if you're like me, when you read these verses, you are convicted. Because I don't care how far I've went down this road, it seems like every time I read them, I say, I'm not doing that right. I'm not really, you know, do I really love my enemies? Do I pray for those people who are doing me wrong? Am I really, you know, there's all kinds of things that he says here that, you know, the world says this, but I tell you that there's more, that God wants more from you than what just the casual worldly person can do. It shows you that we can't do it. It's got to be God living through us. And then he gets 2.5 chapters into it. He's laid this pathway out and said, here's the way I want you to live. And then he says, now, make sure you're on the right path. Because if you aren't on the right path, you're never going to be able to accomplish any of the things that I've said here before. And he gets to this verse 13, and he is giving explicit instructions to enter ye in. Make sure you're going through this path. And then he goes into explaining why. Many of you all, like me, can remember that moment when we gave our heart to the Lord. And there is that point where when we actually come in contact with Jesus Christ, to where he's maybe been pursuing us for a long period of time. And we can tell that he's been there. And we know that he's drawing us. But there comes that point of surrender. And I'd given my heart to a boy at age 7. And by the time I was in upper teens, I'd started drifting away. And then I'd fallen totally out of church. And I wasn't doing right. And then after a period of a few years, I was so miserable. Thank God. The opportunity happened and I ended up coming back here. It took 6 weeks after I started coming back, hearing the Word of God. I couldn't feel anything. I was scared to death. Thought God had turned his back. I thought, oh, I've messed up. God's not going to forgive me. He's not even going to deal with me. I was miserable. But there would come that 6 week, and I can't remember exactly what was preached, but I remember being drawn to about right here. Of course, it's the old altar. And God mercifully saved me, who was unworthy of him. And I remember that. You all remember that point where you come to the cross and Jesus Christ, and you fall at his feet, and you feel unworthy. Real, if you got a real dose of salvation, then there's tears probably flowing down that face, and you realize you can't do it, and you can't do it anymore on your own strength, and you feel unworthy, and you surrender to him, and you call out for his mercy. And then all of a sudden, something happens. A transformation happens in your life. And all of a sudden, that stuff that you felt that was so black in your heart, all of a sudden it feels so clean and you just feel so new. And it's as if the gate opens up and the Lord says, come on in. Come on in. I'm going to sup with you and you're going to sup with me. I'm putting you on the road of eternal life. And things change. You know, we take that for granted, and the thing that's so troubling is we are in a generation that has a total different viewpoint. They believe that they can get there any other way. There is so many in this country right now that is so, we're going to look at three groups. We're going to look at one group tonight, and it's not really points, but you're going to see these groups stand out. You got a group of people, one group that don't care, they know they're not living right, and they're just going down headlong into destruction. Then you've got another group that has came to the cross and they're still on that pathway and they're still moving toward eternal life and they're still trying to walk that straight and narrow with the help of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And then you've got some that started out right and they may have made a wrong turn and they may not even realize that they're on the path of destruction. And we see that where it says that many are on this broad path. And it's so troubling. Because multitudes are going into eternity thinking that they're ready or that they're going to see God or that they've done enough. And it's troubling tonight. And I think we have to beware of what he's saying here to make sure that that's not us, that we have that relationship, that we have that point that we can talk to and point back to and see that we had that point with Jesus Christ. Luke, should we be concerned? Luke 13, here's some more verses, 22 through 28, and it says, and he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive. Now that word strive means contend. It's like a wrestling term. It's like you're going to wrestle. You give it all the effort you've got. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. These people, if you look at these people, this is the group of people I'm talking about that thought they were ready. They thought they had a relationship. They thought that things were the way they should be in their life. And they're saying, Lord, do you not remember you taught in the streets and we heard you? They were satisfied with just knowing about God, but not having a relationship with God. And they're saying, we did things in your name. They wanted to talk about God and they thought it was the same as having that relationship. And they come to the end of their life only to realize they never had the relationship in the first place and they're rejected. the very thing that they really desired, they didn't make sure. They didn't have a relationship. They just had knowledge. And knowledge is not saving. Knowledge will not save you. Knowledge can condemn your heart, but we've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We got to have a relationship with Him. We got to have that place where we can point to that we know that we are living in His will. There are many who will seek to enter in, but there's a lot of people that's not going to, it's not because they can't, because we can. The Lord is looking for those that are hungry and willing and seeking after Him. We can't have that relationship. Just like in the days of Noah, we see he preached for 120 years and these people listened to it and they knew and they were just, you know, they had all their plans. Oh, if it happens, I'm going to do this and we'll make sure we get in the boat right before the door shuts. And they had all kinds of plans if it happens, and some of them laughed at him and you had all these, but when the door shut, we know that no man could open it. And I'm sure that there was people outside banging on the outside of that ark and saying, Noah, this is your next door neighbor. I babysitted your kids. Please let me in. But it was too late. You see, they didn't listen. They had opportunity. Tonight we're going to look at four different gates. The first, we're going to look at the right gate. We're going to look at the broad gate. We're going to look at the straight gate. And we're going to look at the last gate. We're going to look at those four items tonight. And the first one is the right gate. That first verse in verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. He's given explicit instruction. Make sure. Stop teaching. You've got to have a relationship. It's going to start with me. You've got to make sure you enter in. He's admonishing them, come to me, enter in after me. John 10:7 says, then saith Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the door. If you're going to get on this path that I'm going to tell you about, you've got to come to me because I am the path. I am the door to get into eternal life. There is no other. We're going to see it clearly in a minute. There is no other way. We've got to start with that relationship. We can't just go to church. We can't just tag on to what mom and dad did or what somebody else believed. We can't just watch some good television programming and say we've got something, we got religion, and we're going to make it. No, Jesus says you've got to start with a relationship with me. Come to me, and I will sup with you. I will save you. I will be the door that you need to enter in. I know I can tell you when it comes to, he's telling them to enter in at the right gate. It tears me up especially when my kids were younger, or when my wife would go on a trip or something, and especially before GPSs and stuff. I would worry they would be going out thinking they're going to get lost or they're going to make the wrong turn. And so I'm always making sure, talking to them on the cell phone. Have you got there? Is everything okay? And I wear them out telling me, have you made it safe? Have you arrived at your destination? Because I'm concerned that they arrive safely. And the Lord is saying the same thing here. You need to make sure you arrive at your destination. Because 80% of the country we live in says they're Christian. They say they've got a relationship, but we know that's far from the truth of really what is going on in their life. We need to make sure we enter the right gate. And then he goes into a lot more detail on the broad gate. He's talking in the second half of that verse 13. He starts with, enter ye into the straight gate, and then he stops. He starts talking about, he says, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way. He's talking about the broad gate. That's the gate that's leading to a different path. The gate is wide open. The path is so easy to follow down because it is the path of least resistance. If you are on top of a mountain and there is a stream flowing, it would really surprise you if you were to see the water flowing uphill instead of down, wouldn't it? Because the water is flowing in a path of least resistance. Gravity is pulling it, and it's following every nook and cranny, and it digs itself out in a path so it doesn't have to push against gravity. That is what's going on with the majority of people in the world today. They take the path of least resistance. They don't want to work. They don't want to surrender. They don't want to yield. They don't want to do anything. They just want to just flow with the crowd. They want to go with the crowd, and they're on the wrong path. So we need to realize that just because you're going with the big crowd, it says here that the gate that's going the wrong direction is wide. and it's wide open and it's spacious, and we need to realize that it's leading the wrong way. Not only is it wide open, but it leads from eternal life. The word here, if you look up in the original language, the word that says leadeth to, that leadeth to destruction, that word really is not just talking about leads to a destination, but its true means leading from something else. It is a path that is leading from something else. What is it leading from? Eternal life. The path, the broad path, leads away from the grace of God and eternal life. And we need to realize that there is a multitude of people that's on this path, leading away. Do you realize that you can be on the right path and you can end up getting turned around, and before you know it, you're going the wrong direction? Anybody ever done that? The youth group done this recently, and it was my fault. We took them to Lorain, Ohio, to this retreat, I guess in the last month or so, and or about maybe 6 weeks ago, and it's a long way up. And on the way back, I usually use my phone. Actually has a GPS program into it. It's a great one, and I use it. And I had it getting me back all these roads, wasn't paying attention. I just hit, says to turn, and I turn. And on the way, got almost to Cincinnati on 71, and we were cutting up, and they needed my phone for something else. So I turned off the GPS program, big mistake for me. And so I thought, I've got it. I know where I'm going. I've been here before. I think I can make it. And so we were laughing around, and I kept going and going, and we was talking and talking, and it seemed like I was never getting anywhere. I made a few turns, was trying to get on 75, and I started seeing things I'd seen before. I thought that was supposed to be on the other side of the road. And it took me 30 miles to figure out I had made a wrong turn and was going absolutely the opposite direction. I already had came that way, and it was dark enough that I passed up again, and I was so upset when I realized that, because it was late, and we was going to get back late anyway, and I just made it worse. We stayed in Cincinnati for nearly 2 hours, it seems like. Could not get out of Cincinnati. It was like eternal. And I was so upset because I made a mistake, and it was because I had turned off the device that was telling me the way to go. You know what? There is, if we don't watch in our life, we will turn off that inner spirit, that man, the Holy Spirit will speak to us, and he'll be telling us directions to take, and don't go this way, stay in this lane, and do all this, and we turn it off, and we get, no, I've got it, I think I can do it, I've been here before, I think I know what I'm going to do, and if you don't watch, you will find yourself a million miles from where you need to be. And the Lord says, don't do that. Don't let yourself get on the path that leads away from me, because I have a wondrous plan for you. Get in the middle of the path that I have planned for you and go right down the middle, and you will see the blessings of my presence in your life. It goes on to say there that word destruction is more than just destroy. The word here, destruction, in verse 13 is actually translated from a word that means an action demonstrating a complete disregard from the value of something, a waste or ruin. It is when you can take something that's got a total different purpose and it's got a plan. God has a plan for your life. And God wants to do something great in your life. And it's when we allow the enemy to destroy the perfect plan that God wants to do in your life, because we're heading on the wrong path. We get things in our life that's not where it should be. And we let things happen. And all of a sudden we're making wrong turns and we're going the wrong way. And then things start just being destroyed. And the very things that God gives us, the enemy steals away from us. And it's a total disregard and destruction of the plan that God. How do I know that God has a plan for my life? How do I know he has a plan for yours? One of my favorite verses is Jeremiah 29:11. You all know it. It shows that God's thinking about us. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God has a plan in your life, in my life, to give us a total, complete life. That, no, you'll have problems. You're still going to have problems, but he's going to be with you. But he's going to help you to avert some of the destruction in your life. And his end result is for you to get to the end of your life and to be like Paul, who's going to be able to say, "I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I'm running toward the Lord Jesus Christ because I feel like I have accomplished, that God has helped me accomplish the will in my life, His will for my life. Or you can be sadly like Solomon, who had more wisdom and more money and more everything than anybody ever has before or since, and get to the end of your life, and we see the scripture, he says, vanity, vanity, all is vanity, waste. It's such a waste. All that God gave me, I wasted it. How different, though, outcomes were. One had more potential than the other, but because Paul was listening and surrendered his life, an outcome was totally different. We need to realize that the destination of this path is utter destruction. The next one is kind of alarming. The majority, and I've already said this, but the majority of people are on this path. That's where most people are. And a majority of them, a lot of them, think they're going to be okay. I've told you this before. I've never seen anything. This is when it opened my eyes to realize that things aren't the way I think they are. When I had an elderly gentleman who I thought was a Christian all of his life to sit at his deathbed, and I go to pray for him and find out he wasn't a Christian. When I asked him, did he want to pray and ask God to forgive him of his sins, his face turned hardened. He's dying. He's on his last days. His face hardens and he says to me, I have done nothing to Jesus Christ to ask him to forgive me for. And it astounded me, because he always had a smile on his face and he always was a pleasant man. And you just assume, oh, this man's a Christian. And it showed me that there is such a lie that the enemy has sold people, that they can go through life and they think they can live a good life, or they think they can do good things, or they don't do certain bad things, or they believe in certain beliefs that mom believed in, and they're going to tie in on that and they're going to make it to heaven. No, that's not the case. The Lord says here, no, it's going to take a relationship with me, and it's going to start at the cross. You can't do it any other way. You're going to have to walk with me and know the road that you're on. Realize the signs of the road that you're on to realize if you're going the wrong way. The majority of people are on the wrong path. That's where the crowd is. That's where the big party is. That's where everyone seems like they're having a big time and they're heading toward destruction and don't even realize it. I looked at some statistics that I was trying to say, well, how many people are on this wrong path? And I could, the statistics I found, I'm afraid, was like 5 years ago. So it's probably worse now. But 5 years ago, this is the numbers of people that were estimated that were going into eternity lost. And they're going on numbers that's probably inflated lower than they are, not inflated enough, because a lot of people claim Christianity that's probably not. That we know they're probably not. I mean, because we know everybody says they're Christians. But it was estimated that every minute, 110 people went into eternity lost. Every minute. While we're in this church and this service tonight, every minute we sit here, 110. Every hour, 6,611 people go into eternity without God. Every day, 159,000 people are lost forever. During a year, 58 million people. And in your lifetime, if you live to be 70 years of age, during your life, there has been 4.05 billion people who have went into eternity lost. And I thought, well, how many while this message is happening, just during this message, probably 4,500 people enter lost. And how many goes through that gate and realize, I thought I was ready? It's troubling. It should get our attention. It should open our eyes. Why is the church so important? Because of this. People think they're ready. People think, and when they're looking at us, and I feel condemned because when they look at me, is it making a difference or is it making it worse? Is my life making things worse to where people say, no, I don't want that, or, well, I'm as good as he is, or are they saying, no, I want more? Is my life and your life causing people to want to draw closer to Jesus Christ, or are they becoming one of these statistics that's so alarming? And then he goes into the straight gate. And this is where we want to be. We want to enter this straight gate. And again, it says at the verse 13, it says, enter ye in here. This is where you want to enter. And this is exactly where you need to be. Make sure you enter here. Now listen, I love a GPS. I love it. One of the best things, before if you've not got one, I would suggest everyone in here to have one. If you're afraid, if you like to travel, I used to be so afraid to go places because I was always worried about the maps, and I'd get the maps out early, and I wanted to kind of get my route lined out, and I was so stressed. If you know, I'm a little bit of a stressy person, but I was get so stressed thinking, I'm going to get lost. I was afraid to go places, some of these big trips. I didn't want to drive in big cities because I thought, I'm going to get totally lost. I'm never going to find my way, and it troubled me. Well, since GPS is, I just follow what they say, and it takes me, and if you get lost, if you don't know this, it'll reroute and get you back there again. It'll help you get right back even if you make a mistake. So who cares? Just drive. It's going to get you there. It's a tremendous thing. But you know what? A GPS can get you lost too. Let me tell you an example. You all may have heard this recently. Apple Maps on the new software update recently, this has been recent, in the last month, they came out with a software update for all their phones. And the GPS map program updated. They found out they had a major problem in the maps. And here's what was happening. It was in Alaska. It says Alaska drivers attempting to get turn-by-turn directions to Fairbanks International Airport with Apple Maps were directed to Taxiway Bravo. By driving across one of the runways, it's straight to the main terminal that actually comes in behind where the planes park. So the software was taking them down the wrong path across the plane runway where planes were traveling and come in the wrong direction. Listen, there's only one person, there's only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. Don't put your confidence in anything else. We need to realize that Christ is admonishing us to enter the right path, and it's only through Him that we're going to get there. It also says that word, that straight gate, that word straight, it actually is talking about something that is compressed, something that is narrow. It is narrow. You know what? We live in a world that, and listen, I heard this just yesterday morning. I was at work, and there was a television playing there, and there was Fox News was playing, and they was talking something about Thanksgiving, and they said something, and he almost said something about Thanksgiving, and you can thank God. He was wanting to say the word God, and all of a sudden, he stopped short of saying it. He said, you can thank whoever you want to thank. He was so worried to say the name Jesus Christ. We live in a time where you can say Buddha, and people say, good. You can say Muhammad, they'll say, that's great. You can say any name out there. You can say God. That's fine. Because that includes every God that they all believe in. But when you say the name Jesus Christ, the room splits. There is such a move to discredit the name of Jesus Christ. And it's the only name. You know why? Because that's how we're saved. That's how we're healed. That's how we're delivered. That's how your children is going to come back. That's how we're going to see revival. It's going to be through the name, because there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. And we live in a generation that doesn't want to say the name Jesus. They want to just say God, and everything's all inclusive. You accept my God, I'll accept yours, and we're all going to live our life, and we're going to go to the exact same place. That's a lie. It's a lie that's being sold. And right here, he's telling us it's a lie. You can only get there through him. In fact, John 14:6, Jesus Christ clears the question totally up right here. He says, and Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here it is. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man. There is no other way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am eternal life. And if you're going to get to God, it's going to come through me. You're not going to get there any other way. You can't say a prayer to Muhammad. You can't say a prayer to Buddha. You can't pray over rosary beads and make it to heaven. It's going to be only through Jesus Christ. Franklin Graham found out how big of a controversy way back in 2002. Franklin Graham, during the 2001, the presidential inauguration, he prayed at the inauguration of George W. Bush, and he prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. It fell apart. He then wrote in 2002 a book called The Name. And it's a book talking about the name of Jesus Christ and how much power is in that name and how there's healing and all the different names the Scripture gives Jesus Christ and how He's the only way to God. And it was such a controversy. It was unbelievable that he went through. Because he said there's only one name. They want you to accept them all. You know what? No, that's not really the truth. They want you to not say Jesus Christ, but accept theirs. They do not want you. We are closed-minded if we believe. Listen, you've got to make sure that you understand it. You've got to make sure that your children understand that. You've got to make sure, because the media and the culture that we live in is trying to water down the name of Jesus Christ. And there's only one way we're going to make it. There's only one way to this path. There's only one way into eternity and to get to the Lord or to get to God. And it's through the name of Jesus Christ. When we come before and when we got needs and we come and lay our hands on people, it's in the name of Jesus. And that's when Jesus Christ, when we see that when He enters the temple after being filled with the Holy Ghost, demons scream. Demons were totally tore up because Jesus Christ was, it wasn't because of anything else but Jesus Christ. And His name is above every name, above every sickness, above every situation. And we need to realize it's only through the name of Jesus. It's a narrow gate. It's a narrow way. It's only going to be through Jesus Christ, no other way. Not only is it, we admonish to enter there, not only is it a narrow gate, but it goes against the crowd. It goes against what the public that we live in, we go against that. The words here that says narrow is the way in the original language is talking about having been, actually means having been afflicted. You're going to go through tests. If you believe in the name of Jesus Christ, and you believe that, and you tell people that, you're going to face persecution. It's going to happen. It already is happening. It's going to get worse. They're going to say, oh, you're one of those Bible thumpers. You don't, you know, have you not got the memo? That's not the way it works anymore. You're going to get, if anybody that's going to follow the name of Jesus Christ is going to be persecuted, and that's what this word actually is talking about. Have you ever pressed against the crowd? Have you ever had to get in a crowd and try to fight your way through? We went to Washington a couple of weeks ago, and then we took a little quick trip on up to New York City. And if you've been on the streets of New York City, you get a quick version of what this is talking about. Because it's kind of scary, because I had my wife and my daughter, and I was trying to cut through the crowd, and I have to keep worrying about looking back to make sure that they're still there, because the crowd could almost sweep you away. And when you get on those subways, the crowd could push you somewhere you don't need to be. And it's pretty frightening. It also makes me think of these, for some of you all that get some of the crowd, the craziness that we get in, some of you all get involved in some of these Black Friday sales. And for years, I had this thing from work that my wife and daughter helped me with, and we got designated that the ambulance service tries to buy every, child of an employee that's like 13 or younger something for Christmas, for our Christmas party. And somehow about 18 years ago, my wife and I got designated as the people that goes on Black Friday when everybody else is trying to get all their big deals. We're in Lexington, and last year was the first year I got out of this, thank God, and I ain't going to do it again. But every year for 18 years, we went to Lexington to Kohl's, and they had their toys. If you didn't know this, they always have that a couple hours that they have most of their toys 50% off. And so we knew we could get them a lot, you know, trying to get them a value, trying to get them good stuff. We tried to spend a small amount and get them better stuff. So we'd go with this big list, and we knew, and Marie would have a list and put it in order of all the boys and the girls that were 5 or 6 or 7. So we had a plan. This is the way it worked. We go in the store, and my job is to go get a big cart, okay? And Marie and Megan would go to the toys, and they would fight their way through. And it was it's not a big area, but there's a lot of ladies in there. And so they were going through trying, Marie would pick out something and she'd give it to Megan, and Megan's job is to fight through the crowd to get to me. I put it on this cart and start stacking them up and then guard it. Okay, I'm guarding it. And what happens is after I get about 10 toys on there, they start thinking I work there. So now everybody's trying to shop off the cart that I'm trying to guard. So I'm sitting here fighting, and I got women ready to clock me, just wear me out, because I hear them say, oh, there's Susie. That's exactly what she's looking at all out. There's one left. And I say, no, I'm sorry, ma'am. This is ours. What? What? And so they're ready to kill me. They're ready to, I think I've seen them congregating up the side. I think if we hit him on the right side and knock him down, you steal it and go. I see crazy stuff. So I'm fighting, and we're pushing, and we're trying to get this. It is like the biggest, it's like playing football. And I'm thank God I don't have to do that. So I know what it's like to push against the crowd. There is also something amazing. If you know much about salmon, salmon, especially some, it depends where they're located, they travel, they have this natural instinct to go back to where they were hatched, and before they reproduce and then die. And there is some, it is amazing that there is certain salmon that are the Chinook and the sockeye salmon from central Idaho, for example, travel over 900 miles and climb nearly 7,000 feet to the Pacific Ocean as they return to spawn. They travel 900 miles against the current. And that's when you see you've got predators, you've got bears that's sitting on the waterfalls, and you see these salmon that are getting a big run, and they're jumping, and they're throwing themselves up and up to get over waterfalls, to get through the obstacles. If we're going to make it, we're going to have to go through the crowd. We're going to have to push against opposition. We can't go with the flow. We can't do what everybody else is doing. We're going to have to go against the crowd. We're going to have to say, this is the right way, and I'm going to stay on this way no matter what the cost, because I know the end result is going to be eternal life. The end result is going to be glory. The end result is what I'm looking for, and I'm not going to get weary, and I'm not going to get tired, and I know it seems like it's hard sometimes, but the end result is going to be well worth it to push against the crowd. So when we're in this path, you're going to have some resistance. You're going to feel it. You're not the most popular person. You are not going to get awards for being a Christian in this generation. And it's going to go against the crowd. And then the awesome thing is it leads to eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life." How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way we're going to get it is when we give ourselves totally to the Lord, and the reward is going to be eternal life. It's nothing we earn. It's nothing that we can produce ourselves, but through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ as we surrender to Him. That's the destination. That's where we're heading. That's where our goal is. And we got to keep our eye on the goal. And then, I'm coming around. I'm about 5 minutes. Here we're coming around. And then the last on the straight gate, the narrow gate, is that few, and this is troubling, few will find this hidden treasure. Few. That ought to open our eyes. Not just for us, but it ought to open our eyes that there's so many out there that are looking, or that they know there's something, and they know that they're trying all these other things, but they're not going the right path, and they're gonna miss it if something doesn't happen. It says in Matthew 13:44, and it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, and which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and sell all that he hath, and buyeth that field." That word "hid" there is actually the word "crypto," which means to cover with a shield or protect to keep safe. Listen, you're going to have to, if you want to find the Lord Jesus, you want to find this path, if you want to make it, it's wide open. All you got to do is be searching for Him, and He will open it up. You will be able to understand. But you're not going to be able just to walk through this world and just, oh, I'm going to happen into eternal life. It's going to take a hunger. It's going to take seeking. It's going to take surrender in your life. And it says here, this man, once he found it, once he seen it, once it was uncovered and he seen this treasure, nothing else mattered but this treasure. And what was that treasure? It's eternal life. It's eternal life. Nothing here is going to ever compare to eternal life. This stuff is temporary. And too many times we get our stakes built too dark, too deep in this earth, and we miss what God has gotten for us. But we need to understand that there is a path, there is a way that is eternal life. We can't understand it with the human mind. You can't do it. People that's trying to rationalize God and rationalize salvation, they can't do it. It's going to take a spiritual change. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You can't understand the things of God with a carnal mind. It's got to be a transformation of this heart. It's got to be a transformation of this mind. And then you will be able to understand, because your spiritual man will be able to relate and understand the things of God. Hey, it leads to eternal life, but the only way, and few will find this treasure, we are never going to be able to understand it. I never understand the grace of God. I never understand why He loved me. I never understand why He has forgiven me and given me more than one chance. I make mistakes and He just receives me back. I don't understand that, but thank God that His grace is above my understanding. Thank God that it is such a wondrous treasure that I have found, that you have found, and it's only through the grace of God and the things of God that we can understand. And there's going to be a few that find it. We need to make sure we're there. We need to make sure those that we love are finding it. We need to make sure that we're telling those around us that this path, this wondrous secret path. You know, I love telling people good things, don't you? If you see something that's a good deal, I like to tell people about it. I know there was recently there was a thing on all these young people have, a lot of them have smartphones, and there was a deal where they could get all this stuff free, and I was sending texts to all the young people, here, you got, here's stuff, get it while you can. Or when, you know, there's times that you can find this great, awesome deal on something, we'd like to tell everybody we know, hey, here's a great way, here's a good thing. Listen, how much more awesome is it, the presence, the relationship with Jesus Christ? It's what everyone's looking for. It's what the hole in everyone's heart is trying to be filled up with, and it's available, but it's only going to be found by a few, and we need to make sure we're doing our part, and we need to be doing our part to point people forward toward it. And then finally, if somebody wants to come to the pen, I'm going to look at the final gate. So you see, we're going to go through a pathway, and we enter through Jesus Christ, or we try to come some other way, and we're all going to come to that last and final doorway. And what are we going to go through? And once we go through it, it's forever. We're sealed. Scripture says sealed forever, never another opportunity. It is so, so very concerning. John, we read this first verse once, but I'm going to read this last set of verses to you again. John 10, 7 through 10 says, "Then saith Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door to the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." He opens their eyes and says, the plan of the enemy is to get your attention off me and to get your attention on things down here. And the end result is destruction. To lose every opportunity, every time the Spirit calls out your name, to not hear it because you're paying attention to the things of the world. He wants to rob you. He wants to steal from you. He wants to steal from you and your loved ones. He wants to take every opportunity that you've got. And the end result, he wants to destroy it all. He wants to take your opportunity. He has none, and he wants to take yours. But he says, but that's not my plan. I have come not to destroy you, not to condemn you, not to show you, just to tell you how much you've missed it. But I have come that ye might have life, and not only just life, but abundant life. Abundant life. Even here. Even through troubles. Has God ever carried you through the troubles and you've been amazed? You've been amazed that even though your heart is broken, that there is something about the presence of God that just comes in and He just lifts you up and He gives you peace even in the midst of trouble. Or there's things that God does for you. You know it's God. Because Scripture says everything that's good comes down from the Father of lights. He's got a plan for your life. And He's trying to work in your life. And He says, I've got an awesome plan. It's like He's so excited. I've got an awesome plan for you if you'll just let me. And it starts by getting on the right path. And then once you're on that path, to keep your eyes, to know, make sure you're looking at the landmarks. Are you still on this path of righteousness? Are you still on this path that I have set before you? Or have we turned around and going the right way? Let's stand. Let's bow our heads. Almighty God, I thank you, Lord, that you made a way when there was no way. God, you made a way that we could never, ever have accomplished this in ourselves. We were lost. We were hopeless. We don't know where the way was. We could not find it. And there was no hope for us. But you came and you paid the price because you loved us so much. And now you stand, Lord, here. and you stand here today and you say, I'm the way, come to me. I am the way to eternal life. I am the way. And I have a plan for your life, but it starts right here at the cross. And if you get turned around, you can come back to me. That's, Lord, thank you. That, Lord, even though I've gotten turned around, even though I've made mistakes, even though I'm ashamed, Lord, of the mistakes I've made, oh, you get me right back on course. You draw us, you speak to us, you melt our hearts, and you put us back on course, and you head us on that path of eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because you've done it, not me, not anybody, but you.